92.3 Free FM. WFNY FM. New York. Mornings. David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
Umelinganisha moja kwa moja kwa David Lee Roth, moto kidogo na sanamu za kushangaa. You tune directly to David Lee Roth. How about a little fire, Scarecrow?
Cup of attitude, and the second one is free punk. Check it out. So do you think black people are genetically just better athletes or what? Because the Jimmy the Greek quote, I have it here in front of me. This is coming from Jimmy the Greek, and this was the gambler who made the quote, and he got fired for this. He was exiled. Okay, go ahead, Brian.
What year did that happen in?
Oh, within the last 5 years, something like that?
Oh, really?
10 years? I don't know. Within the last 10 years, I'm going to assume. Anyway, here's his quote. During the slave period, the slave owner would breed his big black with his big woman so that he would have a big black kid. That's where it all started. That's the whole quote. And I brought this up just in terms of, okay, everybody discusses this at some point after the second or the third Miller High Life, especially during football, basketball, baseball, weightlifting, boxing season, just about everything except horse racing and downhill slalom. We have a conversation about this. Animal, you and I have discussed this a number of times, right?
That's right.
Okay, I taught you how to swim. It
usually takes
seven times as long for an individual, particularly of your age and your size, to learn how to swim. Boom, you caught it right away. And when I brought up the subject, you said the identical same thing that Jimmy the Greek said, right?
All right.
You're in a total agreement with this, right?
Very, very agreement.
Okay, now turn off the music here. Weigh in. On behalf of all African Americans everywhere, are black people genetically better at sports in general than white people? Go ahead.
Yes, they are.
Thank you. Now, gotcha. Okay, Tony. Give me a call here. Blacks and sports. Let's see what Tony thinks. You're talking to David Lee Roth. Go ahead, friend.
Yo, what's up, Dave? Good morning.
Good morning. What do you think?
In development, in the womb, whenever the stem cells are developing and the different parts of the body and the different organs start to develop, most of the child's development throughout their life is already mapped out at that point.
Okay, so your theory is?
I would have to agree that if African-Americans are indeed genetically better than sports, then yeah, I would have to agree.
Okay, let me read you an email that I got here from Mike in Baltimore. Love the show. If black people are better at sports than white people, is it then okay to say that white people are better at anything than blacks?
Of course, yeah.
Well, wait a minute. You're treading into some deeply dark, liberal, antagonistic territory here. Turn his phone call up one more time here. I'm going to read this. If black people are better at sports than white people, is it then okay to say that white people are better at anything than blacks, like intellect or strategy or whatever? What do you think?
Well, like I said, most of that development is mapped out for most of your life and while you're in the womb. So it would be safe to say that anything else, yeah, it would do. White people could be better than African Americans.
Interesting stuff. You know what? I would have thought that I would have gotten completely contrasting views on this subject, and virtually every single person, even the little night nurse, is going, "Well, I do look under the covers sometimes." Virtually everybody has agreed with us. Amazing. Thanks for giving us a call. 866-313-3733. Okay. Animal, you're going to have to answer to this one. Mark from New Jersey sent in an email here. He says, Dave, will the black gene pool be messed up if all the black athletes marry skinny butt little white girls?
That's correct. It would be very messed up. You would probably have one big cheek on one side, one small cheek on the other side, one leg longer than the other, because you got to have the right booty to make the big baby.
Okay, see, Sasha is completely out of luck. Hit it up. Okay, Kevin wants to compare blacks and Jews. Here we go. Kevin, you're on.
Here's the deal, okay? Like, if you take a look at what someone mentioned earlier on the call, the black, the gene pool, athletically, is stronger because in the slavery days, right, the strongest one survived and the weakest one died, so they're superior beings physically. The Jews, during the Holocaust, the smart ones survived because they were used as professionals and accountants. The strong ones were killed off because they posed a threat. So what you end up having, right, 20 years later, the smartest Jews lived, the strongest blacks lived, and there you go. And it's pretty simple. And if the black people ever wanted to take on the Olympic sports or tennis, I mean, if Michael Jordan learned how to play tennis, he would dominate. They have a superior physical being. It's not racist, it's a fact.
You know what? That's one of the most illuminating comments that we've received here in weeks. Thanks for your time, Kevin. Interesting calls that virtually everybody is making what could be considered racist statements, but it's one right after the other. Everybody, including that gentleman there, the doctor, everybody, the night nurse, everybody from the sidewalk on has made the exact same comment that Jimmy the Greek got exiled for making. Go ahead, Brian.
And here's another way to look at it. Ever notice that a lot of the most beautiful girls are part black and part something else, like half black, half Filipino? Beautiful. Half black, half Hawaiian. You know, there's
okay,
a certain exotic look.
You too. Usually don't start that riff until the fourth beer. Okay, Fuji wants in. Fuji. Remember the Fudgies? That's how I always pronounced it. It's the Fuji's, but I always thought it was Fudgies. They should have had a marketing scheme to go along with that ice cream clothing. Fuji, you're from Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I spell my name the right way.
Okay, Fuji, you've called before, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, I talked to you last week, Dave.
I recollect. So go ahead and weigh in on this one, Fuji. Go ahead.
I am a black male. And I believe that it's not true that the blacks are a better athlete. It's just that some people are maybe more talented than others at anything. It could be anything. I'm no good at basketball.
I
walk on the court to try and play, and there's white people there, they automatically want to pick me because they think that I can play. when they find out that I really can't, it's just a letdown. You know, this guy, he really ain't that good at basketball. You know, where's the next black guy?
It's not a
genetic thing. It's just that it's just a myth. Just like the the endowment thing. You know, I mean, I'm packing, but it's just a myth.
I know. Listen to what you say and not how you do, right? This is an interesting call here, because it sounds to me like when you walk out onto a basketball court, they give you the same look that Eddie Van Halen gave me when I first told him I could sing. And it sounds to me like if you're a black male and you're making that comment, you probably had a little trouble during dodgeball days. You're a little bitter.
Dodgeball was actually great. I was good at dodgeball.
Well, if you have the kind of attitude that gets you out of the toaster this early in the morning to be talking with us, I totally, completely believe you, Fuji. Give us a call again sometime. Cleveland, right. Animal, what do you think? Go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of agree with him, too, because I'm not a great basketball player, you know, but I could definitely play football and knock a home run and stuff. This is a crazy story. Like, my best friend from high school named Ty Coleman, he was an all-around
sport. What was his name?
Ty Coleman.
Okay. Where was this from?
This from Andalusia. This guy could throw a baseball so hard that he was like the statue page of Little League. When he was pitching, you couldn't hit his ball and stuff. And this guy could play basketball, football, all of these sports just as good as the other. And then he went straight from high school baseball to pro baseball, which was a big mistake because he went to the Milwaukee Brewers. He went so far away from home that he was so scared he couldn't pitch. Now, this guy, we used to go hunting with rocks and come back with a bag full of rabbits and squirrels. This guy can knock a bird out of a tree. He can tear a rock up, take a rock and just knock a rabbit completely out.
See,
that's
but
just how good he was.
But he moved somewhere colder.
Yes, right. Oh, now, if he'd have went to Atlanta, somewhere down in Florida, he'd probably be in the Baseball Hall of Fame right now. That's just how good he was, because when he was pitching with his right hand, somebody hit his ball. Then the coach overheard him say, well, if I had a left-handed glove for a left-handed pitcher, he wouldn't be able to hit my ball. And the coach said, what do you mean? He said, I'm a left-handed pitcher. They put a left-handed glove on him, and then history was made. Could nobody hit his ball. He actually is the statue page of Little League Baseball in Andalusia, Alabama. You can check it out. He's still on the stats to this year.
So what you're saying is that you think it's genetic. See, but I have... Yeah. I'm a skinny Jewish kid, right? And you would think I have no sporting skills whatsoever, right? I tell you, I can play baseball like you've never seen. I can tell the difference between a fastball and a curveball in the pitch black with zero visibility. You know how I can tell?
Tell me.
Well, a fastball leaves a lump on the side of your head about this big. I had a little trouble during dodgeball days. Got into the crash. Pick up another phone line, man. You can hit blind on this one. It's all good.
Asa.
Go ahead, Asa.
Hey, how you doing, Diamond?
Good, my brother. What's up?
Hey, you know, the evidence is overwhelming. There's no question. And it has nothing to do with institutional breeding, more so than the hardwire, you know, the nervous system.
Okay.
If you look at the 100 meters since it's been contested and timed from, let's say, the modern Olympics on to this point, the 10-second barrier has been broken about 350 times. It has never been broken from anyone else other than African descent, either African-American or African descent.
Well, that sounds like a salute to me, but a lot of people would think that's a racist comment. Which do you think it is?
It's not racist. It's just, it's fact. It's right there in front of you. It's never been broken except by an African or an African descent athlete.
Then why is it so much? Then why do people get so upset when we bring up a question like this? Because you've heard on the show so far, virtually every single person, oh, well, not every single, but, you know, boom, 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 run right after the other, the exacta, we keep hitting it here, that everybody agrees, but when you bring it up, then it's deemed politically incorrect. Why do you think that is, Asa?
Well, they lump so many other issues on top of that that have to do with, you know, with intellect and with this and with that. But if you want to just talk about just athletics, there are some differences. Not that you don't have superior and great white athletes or athletes from other cultures and other races, but there's no denying it. I mean, for the small pool that is pulled from the African-American pool, they do dominate. They do tend to dominate.
Interesting call. Thanks for calling, Asa. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Get the last one there, 14, Hutch. Pick that out of there. This looks like a good
Greg
call.
Greg in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, always good food for thought. Swing, brother. What's up?
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Great, Greg.
Hey, I was just chiming in. I heard something funny from Charles Barkley the other night on David Letterman.
What did he say?
He said, give me a hockey, heated hockey rink, and we'll take that sport over, too.
That's not an entirely incorrect statement, I think. Animal, what do you think? Do you agree with Barkley?
Yeah, hey, man, I like Barkley, man. He's my boy. I never met him. I waited all day to meet him one time, but I didn't get a chance. But, yeah, I watch him a lot. I think I could laugh with that.
Do you think he's right?
I don't know, man. I can't skate, man. I'm not going to try it, man.
We would have to use two skateboards for you.
Yes, you would.
So what do you think, my friend? Do you agree with Charles Barkley?
Oh, I do. The last, like when it comes to basketball, the last time that you actually had a white team that could dominate was the 85-86 Celtics. That, from then on, forget it.
You sound like you know what you're talking about. Amazing stuff.
Greatest, but, you know, know my sports.
No, I don't think it's prejudiced at all. I see it as a salute. You know, it's a generalization, but I see it as a salute. A lot of people see it as a real political error. You know, Jimmy the Greek got fired for saying this. You know, he's no longer in the industry. I guess things have changed over the period of time, huh? Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
866-313-3733. If you disagree, if this is politically indefensible, I think that's the term, give us a buzz, man. Let's wrestle. I'll let you wrestle with Animal here. So far, he's... I have a few more athletic events here planned before we come full circle and we officially decide on the Roth Radio program who's genetically superior, black or white people, in terms of sports. I feel that we're neck and neck. Would you agree, Animal? So far, in terms of the wrestling, the arm wrestling, the ultimate fighting, and the foot race that we had.
We got to do a tie break, of course. You know we got to do that.
What's your event, Holmes?
Tiddlywinks. ain't that a game that you guys specialize in?
You racist mofo. Okay, Ken, talk to me. Blacks in sports. Am I going to win this one?
Dave, good morning.
Am I going to prove that we're genetically superior, or is Animal going to mash me into paste?
I might be on a whole different show here, but what about the social aspect of it? I mean, just the hunger from where you come from. You know, maybe you could argue a point with Tiger Woods and the golf, and maybe he was growing up rich, but maybe his father, he didn't grow up in the best spot, and he has a hunger, so he tried to instill that into his children. And you have a lot of people that come from affluent areas, and maybe the hunger is just not there.
Okay, well, what do you think then? Let's talk to that. What do you think creates the most obsession, the most ambition? Parents who have some money and are able to educate and support a kid, like Miles Davis, came from a really well-to-do family, went to Juilliard, turned into a genius. Or does it work better if you come out of nothing, like a lot of the boxers, and you're compelled by poverty and not wanting to retreat to that? What's the better way? What gets the best results? Which one?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Is maybe, you know, if you come from nothing, you have much more of a hunger. Or even if your parents come from nothing, you have much, much more hunger. A good example would be like, you know, my boss's son. You know, he has the company just handed to him. He doesn't want it. He's been spoon-fed his whole life, you know, and he doesn't want it. Then there's me. I grew up with nothing, and I'm in total astonishment that he doesn't want it. And I have that hunger, and I'm, you know, striving. Some of these athletes might be just having that, you know.
Good call. Thanks for sharing with us here. Roth Radio. All right, Animal, come here. All right.
Here we go.
We're going to see who's got the hunger.
All right.
All right, you ready?
Yes, do it.
All right, we're going to kill and eat the program director.
I want the upper half. I do not want the bottom half, all right?
No. And we're going to see who's got the hunger the most, okay? Anybody's got some left on his plate? That guy is genetically inferior. You ready?
Ready.
We got until the end of the commercial. You ready?
Yeah.
Hit it, Hutch.
David Lee Roth, the 92.3 Free FM.
David Lee Roth, ようこそ。勝利の笑いの禅と芸術。Welcome to David Lee Roth, Zen and the Art of Laughing Last.
All right. All right. Here we go from San Diego, California. Art, he emailed us. He says, I think Mexicans are better than white and blacks. ¡Órale! Y entonces aquí lo tienes. Desafortunadamente no hablo suficiente español para hablar contigo solamente de lengua, pero aquí lo tienes, baby. Claro, ¿qué sí? You guys have no idea, but I'm talking directly to him here. He says, I think Mexicans are better than white and blacks. Thanks, Dave. Okay. Gothenburg, Sweden, emailing us. Valencia, California, Southwick, England. Got thing coming up from a fella who talked about I was listening to your show in Cleveland the other day and really enjoyed it. I'm a truck driver, so I have to find a station out on the road to be able to listen to your gig. My friends, if you're digging what we're doing, if you're digging the wrecking crew here, This is actually Animal's show. I just work here, but I am the navigator. And we'd love to navigate into your local hometown. Give a call to your local radio stations, all the real radio stations. Email them, get on the phones, talk to the delivery guy for the FedEx, call the disc jockey, station manager, program director, and the janitor who sweeps up at the end of the night. Tell them who you want. Tell them what you need. Tell them where you gotta go. Because all of us here, truly, are genetically superior.
All right.
Okay, in terms of genetics, I was thinking about this during the break here. We discussed, you know, who's genetically superior in sports, black versus white or whatever. And Animal and I, in fact, have a few more athletic encounters here before we determine that, finally and foremost, for the American culture. Frankly, he's beat me on everything. But perhaps if you do a little arm wrestling with some of these next phone callers here on the subject I'm about to bring up, Animal, perhaps some skinny little white girl will whip you. Okay, here we go. Do you think that crying, when women cry, is that genetic or is that a learned response that simply works really well to change the subject? Because every time that a gal starts crying, my first response to that is, stop trying to change the subject. Let's focus, right? Look at the smiles that go all the way around here. Virtually every guy in this room is thinking back to a recent encounter. Shall I delineate it that way? Okay, hold on. Go ahead, Animal. What
like,
do you think?
Like, you know my wife, you and her buddies, she's a white girl. And, like, when she get to talking at me and I get upset, she start crying, I immediately give up, and I would never leave the house with my woman mad at me. Never. I've never did it. You can call and ask her. She start crying, I immediately give up.
But does she know that and use it like a truncheon on you?
Yes, she does.
Okay, because that's my question. And I was looking when they were interviewing Judge Alito, you know, the guy who just got selected to go on the Supreme Court or whatever, and they were grilling him hard, which they're supposed to do. You get everybody, all the other fellas, you know, how do you sit on this position? What is your position on this issue? What is your vote going to be in this direction, et cetera, et cetera? And he was hanging. He was playing lumberjack. He was holding up his end of the log. And his wife was sitting right behind him on his, as you were facing him across, on the side of his left shoulder. She was one row behind him. And she started crying. And they were talking to him about, I think it was abortion or whatever. And they were grilling him hard because the jury is still out, no pun intended, on how he's going to weigh in on this. All right. Sensitive subject. And she broke into tears and continued to cry as he was attempting to conduct his interview. They're interviewing him for all intents and purposes, right? And I started thinking, is this what we have to expect that when Judge Alito has something to think about that night on a long case, he's going to go crawl into the sleeping bag with her? And she's going to weigh in on the issues with those tears. Is she actually emotionally carried away by this, or is she using it like a plumbing fixture upside the head? Now, Animal, what you just described is the latter, okay? And I'm going to raise this question. Ladies, especially, give me a call here, 866-313-3733. Girls, get on it here, and you tell me if it's genetic and if it's a learned response. Because if it's genetic, is that a gift or a liability? Okay? I'm not going to give an opinion one way or another because I'm always learning something from all of you out there listening to me. Gals especially, get on the phone. 866-313-3733. Karen, you're on Roth Radio.
Good morning, Dave. How you doing?
I'm crying, baby.
Listen, it's got to be genetics. We cry when we're born. We cry when we get married. We cry when we're ready to die. And it's hormonal. I mean, it's got to be. Maybe there's more men out there with progesterone and estrogen, but it's got to be genetics.
Okay, but I know some guys who cry, too. And I don't mean, you know, the tears, but it turns into, you know, what we call a crybaby, whiny-ass disposition.
Well,
and they,
that means that they just don't have enough testosterone.
Okay. I've said that to them, and they're currently attempting litigation. However, I think it's a learned response for most people. And I'm wondering if that's how you believe for women. Is it something we're all born with and that we just tolerate it out of some people?
you know, I'm a preschool teacher, and I can tell you, with a four-year-old, it's definitely the girls cry, the boys just look at them and roll their eyes.
Okay, and when the girls are crying, are they carried away and they lose themselves in the moment?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We do not coddle them. We make sure that they know that they're not going to get hugged, they're not going to get picked up when they cry unless they're hurt. But if they're crying because they don't get the pink pair of scissors, they know that it's not going to get them anywhere.
Okay, and do they learn this readily, or is this something that's almost an effort of futility?
You know, I can't answer that.
Well, it's an interesting question, because if we're going to...
It is.
Well, hold on. I'm thinking like a chess player 15 moves ahead here.
Yeah.
We're about to start discussing, not necessarily on the show today, but we're about to discussing as a culture the next female president. We're already talking about this, okay?
Well, listen, if Hillary gets to, you know, at least get on the ballot, I'm going to vote for her, and I really don't think that she's going to let her hormones take over the world. I think that she's a strong enough person where she could keep her tears in check.
Okay.
If she wants to cry to her husband later on, that's fine. But when it comes in front of the cameras or making a big decision, it's not going to happen.
What about Judge Alito's wife, who was sitting behind him during that intensive interrogation, you know, preparatory to him joining the Supreme Court, and his wife was weeping openly? Is that a comforting thing for you to know, that that gentleman is going to be making life and death decisions as a way of life? That's now his livelihood, and he's going to be sleeping with her every night. You're telling me that she's not going to weigh in on virtually every issue, and that there's not going to be tears involved, and that that's not going to affect him?
You know, if he's a strong enough man, the tears are not going to faze him.
Nonsense.
Even though if he's hormonal again.
Nonsense.
Even just, you know, PMSing and being very sad about this.
Nonsense. There is no man, husband, otherwise, who is impervious to that. Animal, what do you think?
Well, Dave, you know where I come from, man. When the rap game, I was one of the meanest SOBs you didn't want to meet in the alley. But when I met Crystal, hey, man, she took the roar of the lion from me, man, you know. So it can happen, you know, because I know what kind of person I used to be. And then she started crying and stuff when I do crazy stuff. Then I became, you know, focused and something else just clicked in me. I don't know what it was.
Well, hold on one second. And so that's how she controls the general navigation of the affair, correct?
Right. That's the new me, and kept me out of jail, it kept me out of prison.
Okay, then it's a positive for you.
Yeah, it was a positive for me, because there's no way that I would be here if it wasn't for her.
Okay, stop. Would she use those tears to get you to do things that you don't want to do? Has that ever happened in your life?
Of course.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. A lot of times, it's depicted as purely genetic. I can't help it, and you have to deal with that. It's like dealing with an alcoholic. You can't reason, you just have to deal with what's in front of you. Or do we have a nation of people who have learned to use this as a political kind of political leverage? I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. Maybe it's even more the achievement. made lemonade, the best. look how I operate the family. Is she still on there? Karen, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What do you think about what we're talking about?
You definitely have a valid point, but I still think that if it's a strong enough man, no matter what his wife says, no matter what the tears come, he's not going to have her sway his position.
Well, crying is kind of a subtle threat, isn't it?
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't think so.
I think it's exactly a heightened state of negotiation, and it insists that after the crying, unless the crying is put to sleep, that there's going to be a threat. You disagree?
I definitely do disagree.
How do you leave somebody crying? Animal said that he would rather die than leave a crying woman at his home. Sounds like leverage to me. I'm smiling as I say this, so please reacquaint me. You're saying that it's not a ploy, and that fact is that guys can get used to it and deal with it, and I say you're crazy.
No, guys definitely can. I'm so hormonal, my husband just looks at me, rolls his eyes, and walks away because he knows it's going to stop.
Oh, that's a successful relationship.
we make it work.
Yeah, you call it making it work, and on a bad day, you call it spousal abuse and turn it into the mortgage. Sweetheart, thank you for calling. Great call. 866-313-3733. Give me up here. Whoever the top one is there. I think it's Nita. Is that the name?
Yes.
Go ahead, Nita. You're on.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. My head is just spinning. You're going in 18 directions. First of all, there are physiological differences in the brain of how women and men operate. Men are linear thinkers. Women are circular thinkers. Therefore, I believe a woman is better suited to be a president. She doesn't need a secretary going around telling her what she has to do every freaking minute.
Oh, you're crazy. Are you? Oh, come on. You're crazy. You're making a broad-based generalization, which I'm particularly fond of, but
which
I'm the disc jockey.
I'd like to circle back because it's the broad-based generalizations that are dangerous. And when you're talking about racism and you say, well, blacks are better at sports.
I haven't said that yet.
That's a positive racist-based statement, which then opens the door to say, well, you know, the Asians are better at math.
Okay, slow down.
There might be genetic differences, but you want to be careful about kicking open that racism door.
Okay, well, I love to kick open the racist door because everybody's racist to some degree, whether it's to positive or a negative. You just declared that as a positive form of racism. I'm not even sure that there is such a thing as positive racism. Just for fun, I'm going to say there is when we talk about women crying, do you consider that a racist comment?
Racism has negative connotations. Racism is a negative concept.
Then why did you just say that that's a form of positive racism when you described that blacks are genetically a little better?
It's taking racism and putting a positive spin on it, so then you can then have it in your arsenal to use it in a negative manner.
Nice try, counselor. You're going to make a great attorney at law if you're not already, so let's go again with women crying. If I talk about women crying as a genetic thing versus a learned response, that's almost a racist statement, is it not?
I'm sorry, could you repeat yourself?
Okay, what I said is, that is a racist statement. Is it a racist statement for me to say that women are genetically predisposed to crying?
No, it's just uninformed.
Okay, but I just had several women who said, yeah, Dave, you're right.
It's not racist. It's
sexist.
It's a brain-based. No, it's not sexist. There are studies done showing that different centers of a woman's brain, women's brain and men's brains, work differently.
Certainly, but in terms of crying, is this a loss of control or is this a technique that we learn?
I think it's hard to say. I'm certain that some women use it as a technique, which is a shame.
Okay, well, let's back into it. Here we go. Out of 10 women, how many of them will cry as a genetic thing?
In response to what?
Come on, lawyer. Come on. Out of 10 people, in terms of stress, in terms of moments of incredible, forceful stress.
Okay, well, I'm not a neurophysiologist, but I would say that if you studied brains, men's versus women's, that in an incredibly stressful situation, there's probably some sort of chemical reaction that will cause a man to want to stand up and fight due to his testosterone levels and his brain chemistry. And there's probably a physiological response to stress in a woman that induces crying.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Okay,
well, let's move down the chessboard a little bit because I know of a lot of great female combat pilots, particularly in the helicopter field, okay? And what you're telling me sounds like a racist reason for me to say they don't belong as combat pilots and that they should be kept in the back lines because they're a lot weaker of spirit.
No, I actually think as a racist, sexist person that you would like to say draw those lines so clearly that I do not draw. Some people that are black are good at sports, some people are not. Some women are fantastic at multitasking, some women are not. Some women are fantastic fighters, some are not. I see every person on an individual basis. I'm really uncomfortable with the lines that you're talking about drawing.
Oh, I'm not talking about drawing specific lines. Virtually all of you are who are calling in here. I'm just asking antagonistic questions to get the best answers out of all of us here. Okay, I'm going to draw a line, animal. Here we go. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Start crying.
Oh, no. Why did I do that? I don't know.
David Lee Roth
on 92.3
Free FM.
All right.
Oh. Oh, baby.
Play it, Ron. Play it, baby. Be young. Be bad. Look at Animal go.
Yeah, man, Mr. Brian Young, man, you just drive me crazy. I won't guitar lessons after that.
Turns out Brian Young is genetically superior to all of us.
Oh,
perfect music for our next guest here. Her name is Lisa Gastineau, and she's a former fashion model and the ex-wife of former New York Jets defensive end Mark Gastineau. Okay, currently with her daughter Brittany. You know her from the E! Entertainment TV reality series The Gastineau Girls, one of my favorites. We talked about it many times. This started off in 2004, and a lot of you don't know that this is one of the most successful reality series on the networks. You know, The Gastineau Girls, it follows Lisa and Brittany around as they try and find love and happiness in New York City. That's what Shaun White, our snowboarding gold medalist, is doing even as we speak. We should introduce him to Mom. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Put her on the phone there. I've met Lisa before. Lisa, it's David Lee. How are you today?
Hey, David, how are you?
Extraordinary. Did you wake up or stay up for this one?
I just woke up.
Amazing. Congratulations on one of the most popular, successful reality series ever in the history of the sport.
Thank you. Who would guess, right?
Wow. Why do you think is the success? What's the secret there?
I think it's a New York show. It's like one of the only New York reality shows, and it's got that little bit of spice that only New York can bring.
Wow, that's an interesting comment that I had not thought of before, and I think you're absolutely correct. What does New York bring to the screen that other places can't?
It's different. It's different than anywhere else in the country. You know, there's nothing like New York.
But how is it different for you, Lise?
Well, you know, I'm a native. I'm one of the few people who were actually born in this state, in this city.
Okay.
And for, you know, I think there's no place like it. And I've lived in Alabama and Arizona and spent time, you know, in so many different places. And you know what? I always love coming home.
Okay, but there we have a million people. You know, we have close to, I forget how many football stadiums worth of people listening. And virtually everybody says the same thing about their hometown. Pomona rules. Fontana, number one. Table number nine rules. Table number eight. You know how this goes.
This is a little past, like, the rooting for the thing. I think that, you know, what makes the show a success is the edginess of it happening in New York, where you're in the biggest fishbowl in the country.
There's the most distractions and the most things going on, and you run into the most people. Do you agree with that?
I agree. There's the most going on.
Okay. Lise, now that you're a reality star, do you find it easier to meet guys, or is it more difficult?
I wouldn't exactly call it a star.
I would.
It's interesting, because I find that in New York, it doesn't make a difference. You know, I've been around here so long, and, you know, people are very nonchalant about, oh, yeah, I might have seen you on TV. But when you go outside of New York, it's amazing on how many people watch the show.
A tremendous number of people watch this show. Do you have groupies? You got a stalker yet?
Yeah, I have one of those.
And
unfortunately, we give that one up.
Oh, please, tell me about your stalker. I have an 180-pound white female. What do you got?
I don't know what he looks like, but he calls often, and he writes often.
And have you gone to the private investigator yet?
We've got old Bo on the hook on that one.
Well, see, now that you know you're a star when you can spell subpoena without actually thinking about it.
So, you know, David, we met at Jason Bin's wedding.
I remember, I think you stuck your phone number in my shirt somewhere.
Was it? I think I might have.
And you know what? It was at a thing at one of the clubs, actually, down in the meatpacking district. Of course, I remember you, sweetie. Let me ask you this. How long was your last relationship?
My last relationship was about a year and a half.
It lasted a year and a half?
Yeah.
Or like me, it was a year and a half ago?
It was about a year and a half ago also.
Okay. So I maintain that a thing of beauty no longer lasts forever. It's good for a weekend. Do you agree or disagree?
I think it could be longer than a weekend. You know what? I'm sure you have the same thing. My schedule doesn't really allow too much for a relationship, although this is the first time in a year that I've had, you know, I've been off for 3 weeks, so it's a big deal.
We'll be back with more Oprah after this. Let me ask you, do people expect you to have more of a traditional mother and daughter relationship, or are they completely supportive of the clearly evident kind of a friendship relationship that you've got going there?
Oh, we're still mother-daughter, trust me. I'm still the boss here.
And what, you are the navigator. You have complete say-so over this girl?
I don't. You know, I don't run a dictatorship. There's a bit of a democracy.
Okay. How old is Brittany, actually, Lise?
It depends. She's legal.
Okay.
She's absolutely legal.
Hey, you look great. I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but how do you stay in shape, Slim?
It's okay. Treadmill.
Really?
Believe in the treadmill.
And do you watch the TV set while you run on the treadmill?
I don't. You know, I'm one of those clumsy people. I'd definitely be off the treadmill if I'm doing anything other than concentrating on what I'm doing.
And is this something that you have for home gym equipment, or do you actually wander out into the gymnasium nation?
I have a gym in my building, which is really convenient. I prefer, like, being out and seeing people.
And do you have a trainer that you're going to fall in love with, like Steven Tyler's your wife?
No, but I want to look for one. I'm actually really actively looking for a fabulous trainer who's going to take me to a whole other level.
866-313-3733. You heard it here, personal trainers. What's your typical day like, Nally's? What do you do? What time do you actually get up?
Usually I get up at 9. Now that I'm not working, when I'm working, I'm up at 7.
When? What do you mean when you're working? Are you not shooting currently? Do you have
We're not shooting currently. We're on break now for a couple months.
And then when do you shoot again, starting?
That all depends. There's a lot of things we have to work out. You know, we've been doing this straight for over a year, and it's really, when you have cameras in your house all the time, it takes a lot out of you.
So you don't get used to it, that it's constantly, you're aware that it's there?
Used to it, but there's so much you can't do, there's so much you can't say, you know, so you do get used to it, but you also, you know, you kind of remember what it was like not having it around.
And does that start to outweigh it? Because now Ozzy Osbourne has, you know, he always says it the same way. There's that dry humor, and you're never sure. You're never even sure of what he's saying. In fact, it sounds like this. But what he's now doing is complaining about the impact and the effects on his family that all of that attention lavished on him.
I don't know if I'd be complaining with a $4 million paycheck. Trust me, I will not be complaining.
Oh, he completely blames his kids' drug issues on it. They've been in and out of rehab. The family has been fractured, that they have all kinds of stalkers and, you know, interesting, colorful people who have suddenly been put into their life. They've had to move out of the house, something like this. Ozzy blames his smoking pot and drinking again. He blames that on everything. He blamed it on me in the 80s.
Well, you know what? I've got nothing but good to say about our show. I mean, it's really taken us to a whole different place, and I love it, and I love working with the people. I mean, we had the best crew. When you have a crew where, you know, your cameraman, his nickname is Party Time, you know you've got a good bunch in the house.
Okay. Do you believe that the opposite of love is jealousy?
Oh, that's such an ugly thing.
Yeah, are people jealous of you now?
I don't know. I mean, I would like to think they're not, but, you know, I believe in a perfect world, so.
You jealous of your daughter?
Are they jealous?
Are you jealous of your daughter?
I'm so proud of her. To be jealous, that would be really sick.
What is Brittany up to now? I think I saw her in another reality series for a bit of time. Is this a career?
No, she was fulfilling an obligation, as we call it.
This was a contractual issue, because now working reality has become an occupation in and of itself, has it not?
Well, I can promise you will not see me on any other reality show besides the Gastineau Girls.
Oh, famous last words. Come on.
There won't be famous last words. They are the words.
Like Sinatra said, nobody retires as long as there's a little bit of an audience out there, Lise.
Yeah, that's true.
And vanity, when that disappears, all is lost. When you stop caring about what's in the mirror, then there's nothing left to live for.
I agree.
Okay.
I'll be one of those little ladies out there with the lipstick on.
Are we going to see you at the Learning Annex helping us learn how to get in?
Because, you know what? You will. You will. I've got so many things on the drawing board stand right now. It's crazy. But
what are you going to teach us at the Learning Annex?
Oh, because a lot. You know, the Gastineau Girls Guide to the Galaxy is vast. There's so much you boys need to know.
But if Animal here signs up for the curriculum, what will he take away from that in terms of illumination? What will you teach us?
Oh, you'll have all new lines. You'll have all new, a whole different thought process.
I know.
You know, not as complicated as you think we are.
I love it. So when I'm through with your Learning Annex curriculum, small children will seem to smile as I walk by.
Exactly.
Household pets will obey my every command.
That's it.
I'll be considered the epitome of sexual perfection by all women and a true hero to all my buddies. That's what I'll get from attending.
That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. I'm talking to Lisa Gastineau from the Gastineau Girls. You know the TV show. It's one of the most popular and successful reality series in the history of the sport here. You got dogs?
Oh, we have two.
What do you got?
I have a Chihuahua named Harry, and I have a Chesapeake Bay Retriever named Buck.
Oh, tells us a lot about the personality here. The kind of dogs that people have kind of says about their sense of humor and whatever. What kind of dogs are those again?
A Chesapeake Bay Retriever. He's 120 pounds, and let me tell you, everyone thinks he's like a lab with a perm, but do not go near him. He's a mighty fierce dog.
A lab with a perm. I think they're talking about Don Imus, darling. Talking to Lisa. Lise, we're going off in the commercial, but we're going to be using you up all for the rest of the day here. We're going to be prepping. When does your show go back on the air, dear?
We're on Tuesday nights and Thursdays and Saturdays and Fridays. We're on about five different times during the week, so you can practically catch us anytime.
And so this is going to be year-round, starting at this very minute. Yep. We can catch this for the remainder of the year?
Check the TV Guide. It's on all. It's going to be on. This particular series is going to be probably running until August, and we're out on DVD from season one. So I mean, you can get as much as you want of us.
Okay, whatever happened to Mark Gaston, Elise?
I don't know. That's a good question. I hope he's fine.
I think he's partying with Eddie Van Halen.
You know, I met Eddie and Valerie with Mark years and years ago.
I know.
Yeah.
Old habits die hard. Lisa Gastineau, you're the best. Thanks for calling us up here.
Okay.
We'll be watching for your show. Give it up, brothers. Yeah.